Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So far, sermon text. Be seated. In Christ Jesus, in whom is our confidence of our own resurrection from the dead, dear fellow redeemed. Last Sunday we heard the background to this first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. We heard that Paul spent three Sabbath days reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews from the Scriptures, the Old Testament, that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one throughout that Old Testament. Now we don't know that Paul stayed any longer because of the opposition by the unbelieving Jews and the disturbance that arose where he had to flee from that city and go on to Derbe. But three Saturdays is not a very long time to be able to teach people all the doctrines of God's Word, to teach them all the truths that God has delivered in His Scripture. Well, evidently, when Timothy came back from visiting Corinth, or Thessalonica, and came to Corinth to tell Paul the good news that this little group would still remain faithful, they had some questions for Paul. And it seems and appears that one of those questions was about the dead. Would the dead miss out on the glorious return of their Savior? What would happen to those who died while they believed in the Lord Jesus? Well, Paul begins this section with an answer. He writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Brethren. He calls them his brothers. And he addresses them in a brotherly concerned way. He doesn't want them to be stressed and despairing and wondering, what about my loved ones who've died in Christ? Will they be here and around when Jesus comes? He doesn't lord it over them and say, "I'm the apostle, I'll tell you what you need to know." Instead, as a brother in Christ, he lovingly said, "I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know about this. And as your servant, I'll serve you with God's word." In the same way, we too are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as your pastor, your shepherd, I am your servant. And I too serve you with God's word. And this morning, God's Word describes for us what happens when a believing loved one dies. And first of all, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, tells us he falls asleep in Jesus. I'm sure many of you know the old saying, "What you don't know won't hurt you." Well, that wasn't true in this case. What these Thessalonian Christians didn't know about death and resurrection, indeed, hurt them. They were lacking the comfort and the peace from God and His Word because they were spiritually ignorant. And how sad it is that there are many people who like it that way. They want to be spiritually ignorant. They don't want to know any more than they think they know. They don't want to have revealed to them what God says in His Word or what God wants of them in His Word. They think they know it all. How terribly sad. Look at what they miss in regard to the one experience that we'll all have to face if Christ doesn't come before. That is death. How stupid. How foolish. Not to learn about life and death and be prepared for the one event that everybody in this world has to someday face.
What a comfort when we hear these words of Paul when he calls sleep or death asleep.
Sleep was something that these Thessalonians knew about. They experienced that.
Death was unknown.
Sleep is something that is often longed for.
Death was dreaded. Sleep offers soothing relief and a rest from our labors. Death only offers unspoken fears.
A person wakes up from sleep, but as far as these Thessalonians knew, death went on forever. There is no awakening.
But these are these words, those who sleep in Jesus, Paul is beginning to counteract the sorrow, the grief, the devastating effects of loss when they experienced a loved one's death.
But Paul is just echoing the words of Jesus. Remember when Jesus talked to Jairus and his wife about their dead daughter? What did he say? She's not dead, but sleeping. When he talked about Lazarus, who had died, he told his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." On Good Friday, when Jesus died on the cross, we're told that the graves of many believers opened up and they came out of the graves. And this is what Scripture says. "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." Paul, in his sermon to the Jews in Antioch, said this about David. "David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers." In Paul's great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, he mentions death twice and calls it sleep. In verse 20, he writes, "But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Sleep is not a euphemism for death. Nor does Jesus use the word sleep to try to just water down the finality and the scariness of death. It's God's way to tell us what death is really like. When we went to bed last night and we slept, we were unaware of what was going on around us until we woke up this morning. And all of us crawled into bed and laid our heads in our pillow, firmly assured, if God wills, we'd wake up this morning to a new day. That's exactly what death is like. Falling asleep in Jesus is laying our head on the pillow of death, firmly assured that Jesus will, because he promised, Jesus will resurrect us and wake us up to a new day, a glorious new day on the judgment resurrection day. People without this sure and certain hope will, when their loved one dies, grieve in a way that shows that they don't have that assured future. For most, all there is just fond memories of their loved ones. Well, they try to deny and deaden the pain and the grief and the sorrow by having a great big huge funeral service and flowers and maybe even a party where they celebrate the loved one, but it's pretty empty. Others will, in their grief and sorrow, turn to drugs or alcohol or all the other aspirins of this world to try and deaden the pain. Or they'll just say, well, there is really no eternal punishment, so everyone who dies, because God is love, they all go to a better place. But they're not so sure that's really true. It's what they think. But is it what God says? It's very important to note that Paul is not saying that we as Christians should not grieve, we shouldn't sorrow when loved ones die. Christians also grieve and cry. Grieving is a God-given emotion and outlet. Jesus cried when he stood at the grave of Lazarus and saw what death did to his own loved ones. There's sorrow in death. We can't even part for a short time from our loved ones. We have to say goodbye to them and go back home without sometimes tears and sorrow. But Paul is saying in our text that we should not grieve in utter despair.
A believer in Christ, a Christian, does not sorrow as others who have no hope. And why? Paul tells us in the second point of our text, when a believing loved one dies, he follows in Christ's path. We read the first part of verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in one short half verse, Paul there summarizes God's plan of salvation. Jesus came and died to pay for all of our sins, and he rose again. If we believe that, and Paul knew the Thessalonian Christians did believe that, then they're assured of their own resurrection. For the same crucified Savior rose from the dead, and he assures us of our own resurrection. Jesus promises us, because I live, you will live also. He not only assured Mary and Martha, but he assures all of us, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And that's what God's word does. It prepares us. Prepares our hearts. First gives us this knowledge of what life and death is all about. And then through the gospel message, fills us with faith to believe that Jesus is the one who came to forgive us our sins, to save us from our sins, and to give us everlasting life, a victory over that last enemy, death itself. And then that word continues to instruct us day by day, week by week, month by month, throughout our lifetime, so that we actually welcome the day of our death. Look forward to that day when Jesus will call us from this veil of tears to be with him in heaven, because there will be real freedom. Freedom from our sins, freedom from our sufferings, freedom from sorrow, grief, concerns, cares of this life. Many a brother and sister in Christ Jesus have longed for that day because they had this message of the Apostle Paul and the good news of the gospel of Jesus living in their hearts. Do you believe that Jesus lived for you? Do you believe that Jesus died to pay for all of your sins? Do you believe that Jesus rose again from the dead? Then you too will follow in Christ's path. And this will happen when he comes again on Judgment Day and resurrects us all. And that's the third point in our text this morning. When a believing loved one dies, he finally will return with Christ. We read the second half of verse 14. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. On Judgment Day, the souls of all those believers who have died will be brought with the Lord Jesus and be reunited with their bodies, and they will live forever in eternity. Therefore, both our resurrected bodies, glorified bodies, together with our souls, will experience eternal joy in heaven. Our text stops here. But Paul's thought does not. He goes on for another four verses telling these Thessalonian Christians about the wonderful nature of the judgment which is to come. Let these verses that we'll now be reading comfort your hearts, fill you with confidence and joy to look forward not only to the day of your death, but to the return of our Savior on Judgment Day. We read verses 15 to 18. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. In these verses, Paul puts to rest all fear and grief and sorrow and concerns that the Christians have about death. Since these words were written, Christians in all times and all ages have turned to them again and again and again for comfort, hope, and strength. I've read these words at every single funeral service I've ever conducted. I'll continue to read these words at every Christian victory service of life over death. Someday, we'll all face death. I should take that back. Every day, we face death. Someday, if Christ doesn't come, we'll all fall asleep in death and be lying there in a casket. Does that scare us? Does that bother us? Are we prepared for that day? Or do we fear like those unbelievers of this world? We need not, for as we read, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them those who sleep in Jesus. Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes to weep, a calm and undisturbed repose, unbroken by the last of foes. Asleep in Jesus, oh, for me may such a blissful refuge be. Securely shall my ashes lie and wait the summons from on high. May that be our comfort and our confidence today and every day of our lives when our loved ones die who believed in the Lord, and when we face death and death calls us and the Lord takes us from this veil of tears to be with Him forever in heaven. For again, the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our ever-living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.